Grace be to you and peace from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Text for our sermon on this transfiguration is the account of the Assumption of Elijah. We read in 2 Kings chapter 2, beginning at verse 1. When the Lord was about to take Elijah up to heaven in a whirlwind, Elijah and Elisha were on their way from Gilgal. Elijah said to Elisha, "Stay here, the Lord has sent me to Bethel." But Elisha said, "As surely as the Lord lives and as you live, I will not leave you." So they went down to Bethel. The company of the prophets at Bethel came out to Elisha and asked, "Do you know that the Lord is going to take your master from you today?" "Yes, I know," Elisha replied, "so be quiet." Then Elijah said to him, "Stay here, Elisha. The Lord has sent me to Jericho." And he replied, "Surely as the Lord lives and as you live, I will not leave you." So they went to Jericho. The company of the prophets at Jericho went up to Elisha and asked him, "Do you know that the Lord is going to take your master from you today?" "Yes, I know," he replied, "so be quiet." Then Elijah said to him, "Stay here. The Lord has sent me to the Jordan." And he replied, "As surely as the Lord lives and as you live, I will not leave you." So the two of them walked on. 50 men from the company of the prophets went and stood at a distance, facing the place where Elijah and Elisha had stopped at the Jordan. Elijah took his cloak, rolled it up, and struck the water with it. The water divided to the right and to the left, and the two of them crossed over on dry ground. When they crossed, Elijah said to Elisha, "Tell me, what can I do for you before I am taken from you? Let me inherit a double portion of your spirit," Elisha replied. "You have asked a difficult thing," Elijah said. "Yet, if you see me when I am taken from you, it will be yours. Otherwise, it will not." As they were walking along and talking together, suddenly a chariot of fire and horses of fire appeared and separated the two of them. And Elijah went up to heaven in a whirlwind. Elisha saw this and cried out, "My father, my father, the chariots and horsemen of Israel." And Elisha saw him no more. This is God's word. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, your fellow redeemed, there's an old adage that the darkest hour is just before the dawn. This axiom, first recorded in the 1700s, continues in a variety of forms to offer hope at the end of dark days in this life. Transfiguration Sunday turns that axiom 180 degrees. Today isn't the darkest before the dawn. Today is the brightest dawn of Christ's glory shining out before we begin the darkest hours of his passion, of his suffering and death on Calvary's cross that we observe in the season of Lent. Transfiguration Sunday, it's all about glory. It's about Jesus' glory. It's about the gospel's glory. It's about our glory as the children of God through faith in Christ Jesus. All that glory gives us hope in the darkness of this life before the dawn of our complete redemption and salvation in heaven. Two key figures in Transfiguration we see this morning are Moses and the prophet Elijah. They appeared in their bodies with Jesus on the mountain. Moses and Elijah stand on the mountain of Transfiguration as representatives of the old covenant of the law with its fading glory. And with them stands Jesus Christ, the author and finisher of the new covenant, of the gospel, of the forgiveness of sins, and eternal salvation in heaven. This is a glory that never vanishes or fades away, as we heard the Apostle Paul write about it in our lesson to the Corinthians. During King Ahab's rule in the northern kingdom of Israel, God sent a whirlwind to take Elijah to heaven without having to go through death. Maybe the same thing will happen to us today if our Lord Jesus returns and changes us and takes us with the resurrected from the dead. Wouldn't that be wonderful to go directly to heaven like Elijah without ever having to see death? Our first lesson tells us about God escorting Elijah into glory. You and I are here this morning because we await our own escort into glory. And we see, first of all, that we are prepared by serving and having lived to serve the Lord. And we are victorious being escorted into the heavenly glory. Israel was rotting from within. Ahab was the worst, the most ungodly king that Israel had ever seen or would ever see. He had built all of these altars to the idol Baal and had included in the worship of Baal human sacrifice that he demanded from his people. And at the same time, they appointed temple prostitutes, whom they referred to as priestesses, who led Israel in adultery and fornication that was all part of the worship to the goddess of sex and love named Ashtaroth. God had called the prophet Elijah to speak out against this idolatry and this spiritual adultery for Baal and Ashtaroth. And Elijah had his ministry had had a salutary effect, a saving effect on many of the people. As God, through Elijah's work and the work of the other prophets, reserved for himself believers in Israel amidst all that idolatry. Now it was time for Elijah to hand over the cloak to Elisha, and it was time for his own life on earth to end. Elijah had some information that almost certainly none of us will ever have, and that is the exact day that we will meet our God. We are not so concerned about knowing that day as we are to remember and know that this is no enduring city here. And we are to always be prepared to meet our Lord and Savior. He could come any second, and how quickly life can end. How unexpectedly. I think of Bill Simon, the reporter, who so suddenly and unexpectedly, driving in a limo up the West Side Highway in New York City, I'm sure not thinking about it, suddenly his life was taken away from him. Elijah was prepared by serving his Lord. Elijah had faithfully served the Lord through his ministry. He had lived for that, even when Elijah tried to have him silenced, tried to have him killed. Ahab didn't look upon Elijah as his voice from God, but rather called him this troublemaker in Israel. This guy always stirring up the people against me and against this idolatry that he and his wife Jezebel had established. But now it was time to hand over the cloak of prophecy. The other prophets, like Elijah, knew it was coming. They knew it was going to be today. Elisha also, the Lord had told him that today was the day. He didn't want to hear about it when the schools of the prophets that Elijah kept serving in his last hours as he went to them in Bethel and Jericho and by the Jordan, kept saying to Elisha, "Do you know that your master is going to be taken away from you today?" Elisha said, "Yeah, I know. Quit telling me about it. Quit reminding me that he's going to be leaving me." But it was good that the schools of the prophets and that Elisha were there together with Elijah. And that's really why Elisha didn't want to leave him. Elisha knew that he was going to replace Elijah. And so he wanted to stay close to find out what he needed to do, what he needed to know, what he needed to receive, so that he would be as faithful as Elijah was. And so just as it was good, Peter said, for us to be here to see the glory of Jesus before his suffering and death, it was good for the schools of the prophets and Elisha to see that glory that God would give Elijah for his faithfulness serving the Lord, so that they would see the reward that awaited them for their faithfulness. So they would know that Elisha was God's choice to succeed in that office. And Elijah showed that also when he walked across the Jordan. He touched the river with his cloak, much as Moses had parted the Red Sea, and he and Elisha crossed on dry ground. And there, still serving the Lord, he asked Elisha, "What can I give you so that you'll be faithful?" And Elisha very wisely said, "Give me a double portion of your spirit." Really, your zeal, your enthusiasm, your conviction, your fearlessness to go to this godless king and proclaim the truth. Elijah told him, "That's a hard thing for me to do. Really, I can't do it." But Elijah knew that the Holy Spirit, pardon me, that the Holy Spirit would work that zeal and that courage in the prophet Elisha. So Elijah was waiting to be escorted into glory, knowing in trust that he had served the Lord. And so it is that you and I can be like Elijah, that we can be prepared for the time that we are escorted into glory as we faithfully serve our Lord. We are prepared. We have done that as children. That would be a good epitaph on our tombstones, wouldn't it? Having lived to serve the Lord. And others would say they were prepared to be escorted into glory because they lived their lives sharing God's Word, being zealous and courageous with God's Word in the world. Speaking against the human sacrifice of abortion and euthanasia. Speaking against the adultery and fornication that is offered in the world today to the goddesses of sex and pleasure. We are the salt of the earth. We are the light of the world. We are prepared to be escorted into glory, having lived to serve the Lord. And we are victorious, being escorted like Elijah into glory. The Lord sent a whirlwind to escort Elijah up into heaven without ever dying. Now you can imagine how critics of the Bible can explain that. Some say this is the first, and I'm not kidding, the first recorded incident of a UFO sighting when something came from outer space and took somebody from this earth. Other, maybe more reasonable critics of the Bible say, well, what really happened was suddenly this big sandstorm came up and separated Elisha and Elijah, and a bunch of Bedouins came along and kidnapped Elijah. And when the sandstorm was done, Elijah was gone. What foolishness. What nonsense by those who do not believe God's word. What happened? God, in a miracle, sent a whirlwind down to take Elijah to heaven. Chariots and horses didn't take Elijah to heaven. They were there. And these were the forms that the angels took. We don't know just exactly how that looked or took place, but we do get to see the way God uses His angels, the way God uses His power and His love to escort His believers into glory. In the same way, God will send His holy angels for us. Even at the time, at the time we die, or when the trumpet sounds and the angels come to gather believers from the four corners of the earth. Why didn't Elijah die? Two words, God's grace. It was just God's grace that He took Elijah to Himself in heaven. Elijah was a sinner, just like you and I. But God spared him that temporal death. And by seeing this, God comforts us to know that one day we too, even if we have to go through temporal death, that it is really for us only the door to heaven. When Elisha saw Elijah go, he cried out, "My father, my father." With those words, Elisha showed great respect for Elijah and the work that he had done. Don't we long for such a blessed end? Don't we look forward to that time when the angels will gather us? And here we want to pay particular attention when we talk about when Elisha cries out, the chariots and horsemen of Israel. There were chariots and horsemen there who were God's powerful angels. But when Elisha spoke those words, he was referring to Elijah. He called Elijah chariot and horsemen of Israel because Elijah was God's power against idolatry. He was God's power against Ahab. And we know this because when Elisha dies, he wasn't taken directly into heaven, but when he died, they said of Elisha and called him the chariots and horsemen of Israel. God's strength does not lie in human chariots and horses like Ahab had. The power lies in God's word and in you and me as we speak that word. Today, we are the chariots and horsemen of Israel. We are the way with God's word that we defeat idolatry and spiritual adultery and unbelief. Our society today is very comparable to Israel under Ahab. And like Elijah, we await the end of our service, the end of our faithfully having served the Lord and being escorted into glory. Paul speaks about that glory that is ours through the gospel that glorifies us in our lesson this morning to the Corinthians. And we all, who with unveiled faces contemplate the Lord's glory, are being transformed into His image with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. Jesus' transfiguration declares His final victory in battle even before it takes place, and it proclaims our victory after the end of all our battles. Amen.